KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have clear skies, 8 degrees above zero. Looking forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high of 15. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Reminder, there's no school today in Coon Rapids, Bayard due to a water main break in Coon Rapids. In Southwest Iowa news, the Creston Police Department reports today the arrest on Friday of a Creston man on a warrant out of Texas. 32-year-old John Jacob Garcia was taken into custody at around 11:18 a.m. on a warrant for unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. Garcia was being held in the Union County Jail on $5,000 bond. Sunday night, Creston police arrested 18-year-old Briar Dakota Shivers of Indianola. Shivers was arrested at the Walmart store on a charge of fifth-degree theft. He was later released on a citation to appear later in court. And a Creston resident reported to police Saturday morning that sometime between 8:30 p.m. Friday and 9 a.m. Saturday, someone threw a beer bottle at her vehicle. The incident didn't result in damage, but the victim reported someone entered her vehicle and took a key as well as a bottle of cologne. The loss was estimated at $195. The Audubon Chamber of Commerce held its annual Audubon Community Banquet Saturday night. During the event, officials presented the 2014 Citizen of the Year Award to 93-year-old William P. Roth, who has lived in Audubon most of his life. Roth served in the National Guard and was held prisoner more than 800 days during World War II. He's shared those experiences with school children, clubs, and adults, is a published author, and has served the community through many organizations, including the local fire department, American Legion, the Audubon County Conservation Board, Isaac Walton League, and Boy Scouts. Roth and his wife Dorothy have three children and two grandchildren. The chamber presented Bradley Nissen with its 2014 Junior Citizen of the Year Award Saturday. Nissen is the son of Mark and Sandy Nissen. He's been very active in the school system and throughout the community, is an athlete, a past National Honor Society vice president, senior class president, and class officer all 4 years at the high school. Upon graduation this year, he'll pursue an education with an emphasis on architecture. He's been accepted at California Polytechnic Institute in San Luis Obispo, California, and at ISU at Ames. Bradley has two sisters, Amy and Ashley. And the Audubon Chamber of Commerce presented the 2014 Community Service Award to members of the Firehouse Flames for their outstanding commitment and contributions to the citizens of Audubon County. The group was organized in September of 2009 and is comprised of 22 women who are the wives or girlfriends of firefighters. They hold monthly meeting and yearly election of officers. Some of their activities over the past year include monthly bingo for all ages, garage sale tailgater suppers, babysitter courses for fifth graders, games at the Audubon County Fair for kids, a children's Christmas carnival in December, working at some funeral luncheons and other events, and holding the fire prevention open house. The group has donated funds raised from their activities to local fire victims, caring and sharing, and at least 19 other programs and or services. Members of the Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will hold their regular monthly meeting tonight at the high school. During their 7:30 p.m. session, the board will receive an operations and maintenance update from Russell Peck. They're also expected to act on approving early retirement applications, early resignation incentives, and a request by the Nishnevalley Family YMCA for carpeting. Discussion items on their agenda include a report from Linda Nichols on the homeschool program and an honorary diploma request. Authorities say they're continuing to investigate the death of a 29-year-old man found inside his Sloan home as suspicious. The Woodbury County Sheriff's Department hasn't released a cause of death yet for Dustin Taylor Wilder, who was discovered Friday morning inside his home. The Sheriff's Department said more information will be released as it becomes available. Authorities were dispatched to the home after they say they received a report about an unconscious male. Authorities are investigating the cause of a fire and explosion at a fertilizer plant in northwest Iowa. Woodbury County Emergency Management Director Gary Brown says a fire was reported Saturday night at the Sergeant Bluff facility managed by Nulex Incorporated. Multiple fire departments responded to the scene. Brown says an explosion was reported a short time later, but its cause remains under investigation. There were no injuries reported. Firefighters later contained the fire. Brown said there was significant property damage. Sergeant Bluff Police directed questions to the Woodbury County Sheriff's Office, but some messages left by reporters were not immediately returned. A website for Nulex says the company produces liquid zinc micronutrients. Ethanol producers will likely have to endure leaner profits this year because of the collapse of oil prices, but demand for the fuel additive will remain strong. The cheap oil will likely cut into ethanol profits because oil refiners will want to pay less for the corn-based additive. But the industry is somewhat shielded by a federal biofuel mandate and the need to boost octane in gasoline. Plus, University of Illinois agricultural economist Scott Irwin says ethanol producers might thrive if exports or gas consumption surge higher than expected. At the Green Plains ethanol plant near Shenandoah, roughly 100 grain trucks a day continue to deliver corn to be converted into ethanol. CEO Todd Becker says ethanol has a permanent place in the fuel supply. Well, the 2015 Iowa legislative session begins today, and unfinished debates of the past, like whether to raise the state gas tax, are on the agenda. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Finding a way to increase the amount of money to improve Iowa's transportation system has eluded lawmakers for several years. But Governor Branstad says he hopes legislators make a decision sooner rather than later.
It is my goal to put together a whole series of options.
But Branstad doesn't plan to publicly endorse one approach over the other. He says that would give critics something to shoot down. Senate Democratic leader Mike Gronstall of Council Bluffs says it would be best if the governor were to exert some leadership.
Iowa used to be the envy of the Midwest when it came to roads, and we're now towards the bottom end of that. And so I think it's time to do something about it.
The main responsibility of the legislature is passing a budget plan for state government. House Speaker Craig Paulson of Hiawatha is the legislature's top-ranking Republican. He warns there's not enough state tax revenue to keep past promises to spend more on education and property tax relief. That means over $40 million will have to be cut elsewhere.
We've done difficult things before. I'm sure we'll find a way to work through it.
Formalities begin at 10 a.m. today in both the Iowa House and Senate. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Governor Tory Branstad is kicking off his sixth term with a limited list of goals, most notably increasing roads funding. But so far, without any major legacy project on the horizon, Branstad will give the annual condition of the state address on Tuesday, laying out his priorities. He's expected to renew support for expanding broadband internet and cracking down on bullying, as well as offering a pledge to secure more funding for Iowa's bridges and roads, many of which are considered to be deteriorating or deficient. Branstad said there would not be any big surprises in the speech. This is different from 4 years ago when the Republican Branstad was elected to a fifth term after a time away from office. He ran with an ambitious plan to create jobs and reform government. And Republicans in Iowa have decided to carry on with their presidential straw poll, a political tradition that detractors decry as a sideshow. Despite criticism from some prominent Republicans, the Republican Party of Iowa's Central Committee unanimously voted Saturday to keep the event going. Committee members said the poll energizes the party base and serves as an important early test of campaign strength. The event will be held in August. First conducted in 1979, the Iowa Straw Poll has grown from a county GOP fundraiser stop to a large event on the Iowa State University campus where candidates spend heavily to entertain supporters. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.